When I was a teenager, I think I must have been 16 or 17 at the time because I was able to drive. There was this one time when I was driving in the car with my mom, and she looked over at me and said, "You're saving yourself for marriage, right?" And I sheepishly said, "Yes," as I kept my eyes focused on the road, trying not to get distracted. And that was the end of the conversation. That was the only sex talk I got from either of my parents. Just one sentence, a yes or no question. I get it. It can be awkward and embarrassing to talk about sex, especially in a parent-child relationship. I can understand how difficult it could be to have more conversation on this topic. But we need to talk about sex, because sex matters. In this sermon series, you've already looked at God's original design for sex, and you've also explored some ways that you can deal with sexual temptations. Today, we are going to talk about pursuing sexual purity. Now, I want to acknowledge a couple things before looking at the scriptures for guidance. First, I want to acknowledge that we all struggle with sexual temptations at times, and most, if not all of us, have struggled with sexual sins as well. We are all sexual beings, and this means we have deep longings for intimacy, as well as often physical urges for sexual pleasures. Learning self-control in our sexuality can be very difficult. Some would say impossible, but it's not. Controlling our sexual impulses is possible, even though it is very difficult. Sexual temptation and sin are common struggles. Secondly, I want to acknowledge that marriage might not be an option for many of you, at least not at this time in your life. Therefore, you might be feeling like you're left with no options. I fully recognize how challenging it is to be a sexual being with no appropriate outlet for your sexual energy, at least as far as you can see. And that is not something to take lightly. Later on, I'm going to suggest some ways that we can utilize our sexual energy in healthy ways without being sexually active physically. Now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 5. Here's what it says. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." Before diving into the sermon, let's pray. Lord, speak to us today. Help us to hear what you would have to say to us. Give us good news in this area of life that can often be difficult. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sexual purity is so countercultural that most people would probably laugh at the idea of abstaining from sex, or they'd at least be confused why anyone would want to limit themselves sexually. People often consider sex to be purely physical, almost like it's no different from blowing your nose, scratching an itch, or eating a snack. In the book, God and My Everything, Ken Shigematsu says, "Our culture is naive about the power of sex. People speak of casual sex. They describe sexual encounter as no big deal. Young people talk about hooking up in a way that is free of romance or any relational commitment." This casual attitude towards sex is common, but it's unwise. When sex is separated from love, emotional intimacy, and committed relationship, there are all kinds of devastating results. There is a loss of safety because you're vulnerable with someone who doesn't care enough about you to commit with you. there is a loss of significance in casual sex. It's essentially meaningless. Just two naked bodies using each other for fleeting physical pleasure. There's also a loss of satisfaction in casual sex. Although people are tempted to believe that a one-night stand will satisfy their burning desire, there's ultimately no deep and lasting satisfaction. Casual sex lacks intimacy, and it lacks the powerful, unifying bond that occurs in marital union. Other devastating results of casual sex include shame, heartbreak, and all kinds of risks, such as abuse, manipulation, sexual addiction, diseases, unwanted pregnancies, and then possibly facing the choice of abortion, which can have a detrimental psychological impact. On top of all of this is the fact that sexual sin, like any other sin, has spiritual consequences. Sin causes a rift in our relationship with God if we go on sinning as if it's no big deal. But hear this good news from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all sin, and that is a big deal. It can have serious consequences physically, psychologically, emotionally, relationally, and of course, spiritually. But God is gracious, and He welcomes us when we turn to Him. Here's the truth about sexual union. Sex is powerful and needs to be handled with care. Sex is like fire. Fire can warm the house, but it can also burn the whole house down. In our culture, people are playing with fire when it comes to sex. Sex is beautiful and wonderful and can contribute positively to life, even creating new life, but it can also be destructive. We need protective boundaries for sex, and that is why God established marriage. The lifelong love, intimacy, partnership, and commitment of marriage are like the walls of a fireplace that allow the burning flames, that allow the powerful flames to burn without destroying the house. In our culture, people are playing with fire when it comes to sex. If we aren't careful, we can easily get burned. At the same time, sex is part of God's glorious creation. It can be a wonderful thing in the right context. God designed our sexuality to be life-giving. When we follow God's design for sexuality, we can find the safety, significance, and satisfaction that we long for. Now, this doesn't always come automatically in marriage. Married couples need to communicate and work together to have this safety, significance, and satisfaction together. But that is the context where this can happen. God's design involves boundaries, and these boundaries are for everyone's good. The world wants to have no boundaries. People want sexual freedom. But this is risky, empty, and destructive. Ultimately, what the world calls freedom isn't freedom at all. Boundaries are a good thing. Without the boundaries of the playing field and the rules of the game, a soccer match would be complete chaos. Without the boundaries of tempo, time signature, and key, a song would be a jumbled mess. Without the boundaries of a fireplace, a fire could burn the house down. And without boundaries for sex, there can be all kinds of devastating results. A secular psychologist named Gordon Neufeld tells the truth about sexual union. He wrote, "Studies have confirmed what most of us will have found out on our own, that making love has a natural bonding effect, evoking powerful emotions of attachment in the human brain. Sex creates couples, ready or not, willing or not. Sex is like human contact cement, invoking a sense of union and fusion, creating one flesh. What the ancient scriptures have said all along has been verified by scientific study. In sexual union, two become one. For married couples, this is a beautiful thing. The act of sexual union reinforces the relational and emotional bonds. A healthy sex life strengthens a marriage. For those who have sex outside of marriage, a breakup is like tearing flesh apart. It's painful. Some people hide the pain, numb the pain. Some even get desensitized to the pain as they get used to this tearing of flesh repeatedly over time. But whether people realize it or not, the ripping apart of what was meant to be bonding together causes harm to yourself and to the other person. Sex is meant to be part of a lifelong union of husband and wife. But you know what? That's not the whole picture. Sex is not only about human partnership, it is about participation with God. The union of husband and wife represents the union of Christ and His church. The mutual love of husband and wife is meant to be an image of the mutual love of the Trinity. Sex is not just physical, emotional, and relational. Sex is also spiritual. Sex is also a participation with God in that through sex, God creates more human beings. Babies are conceived through sexual union. I know many of you are probably too young to start thinking about having babies, but I can share with you from my experience that it is the most meaningful thing I've ever been a part of. My wife and I got to bring two human beings into the world. God's creative power at work through our marital union produced these daughters of ours who have a mind of their own, who are capable of walking and talking and learning and playing and expressing love and making a difference in the world. It's amazing. I want to acknowledge that some couples are incapable of having children, and that is often devastating for them. God knows their pain, God is with them, and God can provide alternative purposes for them. Regardless, their union in marriage is still a participation with God. So, the truth about sexual union is that sex is powerful and sex is spiritual. As I mentioned earlier, if you aren't married, you might feel stuck with no appropriate outlet for your sexual energy. So let's talk about dedicating our bodies to God. The Bible describes our body as a vessel or tool. Our body is designed by God and belongs to God. Romans 6:13 says, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." And Romans 12:1 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." The way we use our bodies matters. We are invited to give our bodies to God in worship and service. We can be an instrument in God's hand for bringing love, joy, and peace to those around us. You might have never thought of this as sexual, but that's because our culture has reduced sexuality to such a small part of something that is way bigger. Our sexuality is about our embodied participation in God's love in the world. It's not just about what we do with our genitals. Sexuality is about our whole selves longing for intimacy, union, and love. Dedicating your body to God provides all kinds of healthy outlets for your sexual energy, even when it doesn't involve having sex. By dedicating your body to God, you can channel your sexual energy into loving the people around you more fully. Here are some examples. First, offering a listening ear. It is a rare and precious gift to be truly heard. So when you can offer someone your undivided attention, listening deeply, that is a loving, intimate, and holy use of your sexual energy. Second, giving encouragement and affirmation. You can harness your God-given drive for intimacy into an uplifting word for someone. When you affirm someone, they feel seen and known. Encouragement is a creative act that participates in God's life-giving energy and gives people a sense of closeness. Third, you can engage in appropriate physical touch. A hug, a high five, a hand on the shoulder, a pat on the back, those are all expressions of togetherness. It is an act of love. It is using your body to bless someone. Now, you need to be careful in physical touch and be respectful of other people's boundaries. But when it is appropriate and mutually appreciated, it can be a beautiful experience. Again, I'm not talking about sexual touch in the way that we tend to categorize that. We are trying to explore options for channeling our sexuality in healthy ways. So these are just innocent touches that I'm talking about here. The last example I'll mention now, even though there could be many more, is teaching. When you teach someone something, you participate in God's creative power. When I teach students guitar, more music happens in the world. I don't lose any of my ability when I give away what I know to my students. Nothing is lost. All is gained. Teaching is life-giving. It produces something that was not there before. It is somewhat comparable to creating a baby, just on a different scale. And you don't need to be an expert to teach. My kids have taught me all kinds of things that they've learned in kindergarten and daycare. All of us have the ability to share with others what we have learned. So, whether through offering a listening ear, giving encouragement, engaging in appropriate physical touch, or teaching someone something, we can all dedicate our bodies to God, channeling our sexual energy into life-giving acts of love. So far, we've explored the truth about sexual union and how we can dedicate our bodies to God. Finally, let's explore pursuing sexual purity together. As I mentioned earlier, we are bound to encounter sexual temptations and struggles. Our culture is sexually saturated. It's almost inescapable. We are confronted with temptations on a regular basis. Sexually provocative advertisements pop up on websites and social media when we aren't expecting it. Billboards and even buses often display images of half-naked people. An attractive body might catch your eye just when you're walking down the street, or especially at the beach or at the pool. Attraction is natural, but if we aren't careful, attraction can lead to lustful thoughts. As Martin Luther said, it's one thing to have a bird land on your head, but it's quite another to let that bird build a nest there. We can't entirely avoid seeing something attractive or arousing, but we can resist temptation to lust. If you are in a dating relationship, there will likely be temptations to take things further physically. So, one principle you could live by is to commit to not doing anything physical in private that you wouldn't feel comfortable doing in public. And if the temptation is particularly strong, you could take that a step further and choose to spend more time in public and less time in private behind closed doors. The same could be said for internet use. If you struggle with pornography, which is a very common struggle, it would be wise to set up boundaries. You might want to only use the internet when someone else is nearby. You might want to set up your computer in an open area in the home. Ultimately, never walk alone in your pursuit of purity. It is our isolation and secrecy that can often keep us in bondage to sexual sin. The best thing you can do is to confess your sins and even your temptations to someone you trust, who can pray for you, encourage you, talk with you about strategies, and hold you accountable. The very act of having someone that might ask you how you're doing with your temptations might be enough to prevent you from falling into temptation and giving into sin. Pursuing purity is difficult, but you can always rely on the Holy Spirit to empower you to do what seems impossible. In God's strength, you can overcome temptation. Lastly, if you have been sexually active, whether by choice or by someone taking advantage of you, you can ask God to purify you again. We all have a past, but by God's mercy and in His power, He can make us new. Let's pray. Almighty God, your good gift of sexuality often gets twisted and taken outside of your beautiful intentions. We confess our own temptations and sins in that regard. Renew us, purify us, Lord. Give us strength to turn away from temptation. Empower us by your Spirit to live in line with your perfect will. Help us to trust that the life you have for us is good, so that we can walk confidently in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.